The Justice Department, like a few others, has one or two really big agencies and a lot of small ones. So a big challenge for Chief Information Officer Joe Klimovich is keeping everyone happy and well-equipped and balancing the priorities. In part one of my interview, Klimovich describes how he's aiming to bring agility into the way his organization delivers IT services and how he wants to bring more innovation into the services themselves.
As you can imagine, we have a lot of mission-specific IT, but we also have a lot of opportunities to leverage shared IT services across the department. There are over 40 components in Department of Justice and about two dozen component CIOs. My mission, the way I look at it, is to serve and protect and advance DOJ's goals through information and technology services. We really want to try to do is drive DOJ's information technology services at the pace of American innovation. Everybody goes to conferences. They have really cool technology at home, and I want to see how fast I can bring that technology into the department. Strategy, we want to be brilliant at the basics. We've got to provide basic services to everybody. If you don't do that, you don't get to have a good time looking to bring in new technology and transform the organization. But we also want to push agility into our service delivery because requirements change, needs change, and we want to be able to respond very quickly. And it's very important that we can respond and be agile without adding additional cost. We also want to bring innovation to our customers. So it's not just bringing the innovation to the IT sector. We want to bring innovation to our customers, to our law enforcement agents, to our attorneys. Five strategic goals.
Well, before we get to those, let me just ask you this. During the transition, and we're waiting for confirmation of an attorney general, I imagine they must have shown a lot of interest in IT and the issues, and you must have a chance to explain to them what's going on. And did they show interest?
Well, at this point, and we're still trying to bring the transition team is still ramping up the landing team, and I haven't actually had an engagement with the team. I'm sure they appreciate the technology, what it can bring. We've made sure that the team that's in place has cutting edge technology, and they're very appreciative of that. But we haven't gotten into all the
So a little
challenges.
Early on that one.
It
yet.
Is, yes.
Okay. So you mentioned you've got five strategic goals. Let's briefly talk through those.
Well, when I came on board about 2.5 years ago, one of the things we want to do is to kind of refresh where we want to take the organization and how do we support the broader DOJ mission. First is exceed customer expectations. And it's not, my view, it's not acceptable just to meet customer expectations. We need to go beyond. We need to anticipate where customers are going to need technology and how they can use technology to change how they do their job. Protecting the mission, and this means cybersecurity. It means resiliency in our services. It means disaster recovery, reliability of the technology. Want to do make sure we're innovative about sharing of services and information. Extremely strong proponent of sharing services. It's number one way you control cost is sharing the services. Don't reinvent the wheel. We want to make sure that we're sharing not only within the department, but also taking advantage of services that are outside of the department and other agencies. And sharing information is key to adding value to this information we have and also bringing in information from other components. We share a lot of information with 18,000 state and local law enforcement organizations, and we've done a lot in this area. Managing taxpayers' money wisely. We want to manage every dollar if it's our own dollar, and we want to make sure that we're getting the most bang for every dollar that we spend. And then lastly is building a future-ready workforce. Constantly looking to the future and trying to figure out how do we make sure that the workforce that we have has the right skills and capabilities to take us into the next generation of technologies and capabilities.
Let me ask you this. FITARA is something that I know you have been one of the leading proponents of, and right. I think we've been on panels together talking about FITARA, the relationship with the CFO. How has it changed the relationship with the component CIOs? Since under the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, only the departmental CIOs are officially recognized. But as you say, there's still 24 component CIOs. How did FITARA change that?
Well, we had an excellent relationship with the component CIOs before. We have a very mature governance process. We have a CIO council. We have committees. The committees cover every aspect of IT and information. And what I have on every committee, they're co-chaired by a senior executive on my staff and a component CIO. So really the expectation is that you're going to serve in some capacity supporting the broader department. But I have input into their performance evaluations, and we've had a number of vacancies in the components since I've been there, and I approve all of the hires for the component CIOs. So we have a mature governance process. We've worked in the relationship through the HR processes, and I think it's been a very good relationship. And honestly, even if you had all the IT, if you had to support an organization as broad as Department of Justice, you'd have to carve out the work in some way. And I think that having somebody that's responsible for the different component IT portfolios is the right way to go.
We're speaking with Joe Klimovich. He is the CIO of the Justice Department. And of those components, I guess the big one is the FBI. And they must have a lot of their own mission-specific IT as well as the things they might share with general justice. So you've got to balance that one.
Do everything is a balance. The Federal Bureau of Investigations, FBI, has essentially about half the IT spend in the department. And, we have an excellent relationship with them. I spend a lot of time. The proximity of the building right across the street, right across Pennsylvania Avenue from my office.
For the time being, anyway.
Yes. But that makes it pretty easy to walk across there and meet with their executive leadership team.
Sure. I wanted to get back to the shared services goal. What services are you sharing, and who are you sharing them with, and what are the service providers you're using?
Well, at this point, I mean, cybersecurity is one of our big priorities, probably my top priority, and something that we actually provide services to other components, other agencies. In cyber area, but we also take advantage of a lot of services from, say, DHS through the continuous diagnostics monitoring services that are out there. So cybersecurity is probably the biggest one that comes to mind.
You're on the Einstein, right? So that's a big
yes,
one.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. But in the area of shared services, we will take advantage of other services that are out there. A lot of contracts we buy most of our hardware software through other acquisition vehicles. We just awarded a task order agreement for cloud services, and that is through a Department of Interior contract. So one of the biggest areas we're taking advantage of other services is through the contracting. If somebody's already awarded a contract you can take advantage of, no need to reinvent it. That takes a lot of time to put a contract in place for broad IT services.
A big issue for all of the departments really has been where to get the money to modernize and how to get that spending on operations and maintenance rebalanced a little bit with toward what they like to call innovation. What's the modernization? What systems are on your priority list to modernize, and how do you stand in all of that?
Well, again, we're still a little heavy on the O&M, light on the DM&E. We carefully look at that on a regular basis, and we have before even Fatara, we put in place a Department Investment Review Council to look at all these major investments and how can we be as efficient as possible in these things? How can we modernize? But also, how can we modernize consistent with the end goal of sharing services? So building modern platforms, how can we move to the cloud, take advantage of cloud technologies, building that agility? A lot of that is we've got systems that are not unlike any other department. Very old, yes. And a lot of COBOL code, quite a bit of assembler code still. And these systems need modernization to be modernized. But we want to take advantage of modern techniques too to do that, not just rehost the same capabilities on, the same software on the same or new hardware. Is actually look at how we can change the business processes and underlying technology.
Has anyone discovered an efficient way and a reliable way of taking the business logic that is embedded in all that assembly and all that COBOL and somehow getting that into a modern language?
Well, I think we've got about 9 million lines of COBOL code.
That's all, huh?
And yes, and they're in important systems. So we actually are looking at technologies that can automatically convert that COBOL code to something like Java, and you know, I wouldn't say we figured out exactly how to do that, but you want to be able to instead of wrapping the code and just rehosting it on a new hardware platform, you want to really convert that code to something a more modern programming language.
And because that's a big maintenance issue also.
It
would have much lower maintenance costs if it was a language that you could freely find people to work on.
Well, the other thing is interoperability. And if you look at, there's a lot of shared kind of services that in these bigger systems. And when they were built, a lot of them in the 80s, they had dedicated storage, dedicated processing, dedicated networks, dedicated everything, and they were fairly closed off. And if you can move them to a modern platform, modern software, then you can actually open them up and have a lot more interoperability.
Now, you've had some success in getting email to the cloud and consolidating email systems. Tell us about that one.
Absolutely. Just to put in perspective, 4 years ago, we had 23 different email systems in the department. And then right as I was coming on board, we were consolidating down to 9 email systems. And this is essentially phase one. Not that we picked the easy ones, but we picked the ones that made the most sense and converted those to an on-prem consolidated system. And so we had 9, and we didn't want to stay there. That wasn't optimal in terms of collaboration and efficiencies. So we've been working the last year and a half to put in place an enterprise-wide agreement and get everybody, again, going through the governance process, getting all the committees and components on board.
So you had directory huggers that you had to probably bring in.
Well,
everybody
likes to be able to control their own destiny. So you need to take all that consideration. But as you move to a shared service too, you don't want to customize everything because that adds additional cost. So what we're doing is we're moving to a dedicated Microsoft 365 cloud-based solution.
So not hosted at Justice, but hosted
somewhere.
Not hosted
at Justice. Hosted in 4 Microsoft data centers. Very, very secure. Our cyber team ensured that we've got the most secure environment we can get. And it's also going to be much more resilient than what we currently have today. And we leveraged our DOJ buying power to negotiate a much lower price for enterprise licenses for the entire department.
And what about the directories that underlie all of those old email systems? Does that all get consolidated and probably a lot easier and cheaper to administer when everything is in a single directory?
It does. We've been working through a lot of these, what might appear to be minor issues, but there's a lot of things to work as you migrate and consolidate. Today, we have over 3,000 people that have moved to the Microsoft cloud environment to include all of the leadership, the Attorney General's office and the Deputy Attorney General's office, DOJ leadership have all migrated over. Again, that puts us on a modern platform, consistent platform, and where it makes it easier. But we're also redoing all of the desktops, workstations, laptops in the front office too. So the leadership team, all the senior management offices, senior leadership offices are today primarily desktops. We're actually moving to primarily laptops, supporting the mobility, moving to a modern, very lightweight, very, very robust laptop environment that can go with them anywhere. So if there's a snow day, telework day, whatever, you can take anywhere you want, trips. And also, it's being deployed with Windows 10. So we're moving to a more secure environment. We're providing that agility and mobility. And you combine all this stuff, and it makes it a lot easier for our customers to do the job.
Do you take a standard hardware approach, or can people choose from among several types of devices?
They've got a very limited selection. I think 3 different platforms. You can have a smaller laptop, a bigger laptop, and we still have some that folks who want desktops with, say, 2 monitors because they're doing a lot of spreadsheet work and analysis there. But it's a very limited, finite number of selections. And again, that makes it a lot easier for us to support those operations remotely.
And you're getting those on someone else's existing contract?
We are, yes. Not a DOJ contract. There was guidance that put out from Ann Rung about to use these vehicles if you want to buy
desktop plastic. That would be Office of Federal Procurement Policy.
Absolutely. And so we're using one of those vehicles.
So you're getting into a little bit into the category management game there.
I support it as much as I do shared services. I think that to the extent that we can leverage our buying power, not only within the department, but across the federal government. Yeah.
We're speaking with Joe Klimovich. He's the CIO of the Justice Department. Let's go back to cybersecurity just a little bit for a minute and maybe elaborate on some of the strategies there, given how sensitive this whole topic really is these days.
Sure. You can imagine we're really constantly under attack. You got the nation states, the cyber criminals, the hacktivists, and we also are constantly on the lookout for insiders. What we've done in the last 2 years is really double our cyber budget at the headquarters level, really trying to deploy new and enterprise-wide tools. Denial of service attacks are something we see all the time, but we've got over 24 countermeasures to compete with the attacks. We've implemented data loss prevention tools. It's very, very hard right now to things like social security numbers to send out to electronically. Things that we can identify, we've locked down. We also have automated encryption. So if you want to send something out that has sensitive information, and it will get flagged if you try to send it out that's when it's not encrypted. But we also have an automated encryption capability. You know, check the box kind of thing. Real-time analysis of all the different information that's coming in. We have a very sophisticated cybersecurity operations center. But as you can imagine, all these tools provide a lot of information coming in, and we've got enhanced tools to go through all that information, rapid forensics capabilities, and a lot of emphasis that started with the federal cybersecurity national action plan, but really a strong focus on critical, high-value assets. And we're providing additional protection around those. Two-factor is something that's very important, and we've made a lot of progress in that.
Yes, on the new devices coming in, the laptops so forth, and I guess maybe there's some touch screens. Is that part of the options, too? Do you have...
They all come with PIV card enabled, so it's with the...
So that's the second factor.
Right, absolutely, yeah. And so that just it's all built in, very reliable. That technology was not readily accessible before, and you had to have an adapter and so on, but now it's all built in. So,
all right, so what are the other success stories in the past year, and what are you looking for ahead?
Well, I think one that everybody else wants to talk about is data center optimization and transformation. And again, we started with 110 data centers in 2010, so... we've consolidated, closed 72 of those. So we're making a lot of progress. We're still on track to get down to 3 data centers by the end of 19.
That is to say all DOJ data centers in addition to cloud hosts.
Moving to the cloud is one of our key strategies because we're trying to figure out what's better hosted in a cloud environment. And then what needs to stay on our premise. Sometimes it's a hybrid solution where we'll keep a primary maybe in our footprint and then host a backup, a redundant capability in a cloud environment. Also provides that scalability.
But when you say there were about 100 of them, and
110,
110, and you've closed 72, that's all of the justice components.
That's across all the DOJ components. In 2015, we closed our second largest data center down in Dallas and transferred all those operations either back here or into the cloud. We're on track to close our largest DOJ data center in 2018. It's a 100,000 square foot data center that we're going to close, and it allows us to save a lot of money.
And there's both transfer of data and forklifting of equipment involved there?
Yes. I mean, it'll go. The building will go back to GSA, and then they can figure out what to do with them from there. But we'll pull out all the technology that's salvageable, usable, and then give them back a shell of a building. But
a given unit of computing and storage just takes less space than it did.
Oh, absolutely. What you're seeing is the footprint to provide the same capacity is shrinking every year. On the other side, though, that the weight and the power of every given square foot in a data center has to be increased because some of these servers, I used to be able to pick them up myself, and now it's like a car, right? If you looked under the engine of a car, they're very packed in there now, and it's very hard to get into them. These racks of equipment weigh an awful lot of now, especially if they're water cooled,
right.
And they require a tremendous amount of power. So you're getting a lot more density into these data centers, but you have to be cognizant of the facility requirements as well.
Joe Klimovich is CIO of the Justice Department. We'll post both parts of the interview at federalnewsradio.com.